I mentioned before there was going to be one random guest sermon illustration. I'm happy to say it's not slightly random because I'm going to welcome Jess back up here. Can you welcome Jess here? Because she's going to be our only slightly random sermon illustration for the evening. That's it. I've warmed the stool up for you, Jess. There you go. The tough bit for Jess is that she actually gets the easy bit because she just gets to sit there. You guys are going to have all the insights and they're going to have the bright ideas, aren't they?
Be nice.
What I want us to think about together is just there are a range of people who know Jess. Each of those people have a different perspective on Jess. So let's have a think about some of those people who would know you, but know you from different perspectives, all right? Shall we start with your mother? We'll start with Jen. Now, have a think. What do you reckon would be some of Jen's insights and perspectives on Jess? What comes to mind along the way here? What does a mother tend to know about their kid? Their childhood, yeah. So knows a lot of the backstory from early days, yeah. All her faults. She's got a book full of them. Yeah, and there's two bookfuls of the good things. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Her favourite food. Yeah. Does she actually know your favourite food? I don't know if you know your favourite food yet. Yeah. Yeah. Ah, okay. So temperament and perhaps some early stories of how you interacted with others. That's good. Dietary requirements. Yeah, I hope she's got some idea. Okay. So ways of bringing comfort and strength. That's good. All right. Let's pick a different person. What about your best mate or a really good mate, maybe Gemma or someone, I don't know. How does a best friend, you know us in a different way? What sort of insights do you think best friends have along the way? Where she likes to shop. Yep. Okay, yes. The stuff you really don't want the parents to know about, yeah.
Favourite cafe, favourite piece of clothing.
Yes, 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 yes. Very good. It's not meant to be like a support group type thing, technically speaking, but anyway. All right, so we thought about mum's perspective, we thought about best friend's perspective. What would be another? We'll go with Kimberly. It's not fair on Rod because Rod is in the room, so we won't pretend to read his mind in that regard. But Kimberly. Her sister. What perspective do you think sisters have on their siblings that comes to mind? Say how good they are at keeping things tidy.
I'm the cleaner one.
Yes. Testify. Testify. Who else? How to annoy them? Or does that actually go the other way too, you know?
Oh, yes. I don't have a good idea. It's easy.
Anything else? All right, that's very good. Say thanks to Jess for that. Yeah. I'll come to that in a second. Why did I put you, and for that matter, Jess, through that particular exercise? Through an exercise of thinking about a person and how different people see them in different perspectives and bring different insights into it. And any suggestions about why we go down that road? Different perspectives on the Bible, yeah. Anything more to that, Ellie? The Lord knows all our perspectives as well. Yeah. The Lord knows us in the way that each of the people in our world knows us as well. Yep. Different knowledges and understandings of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes, yes. They're four really good sermons so far. and I'm touching on all of those. So, yes, we actually know ourselves. Well, some people refer to it as mirror image self-concept. So we know ourselves by the different kinds and shapes of mirrors that we have around us, by the way we get a sense of feedback from others. And that's not inappropriate. How we interpret what we see coming back from us is a different thing. Well, they're all very good, suitably spiritual answers. What I had in mind was something a little bit more low-tech. You'll have noticed by now that the Bible has four Gospels in it, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Each of those, even in themselves, provides a different perspective on Jesus and opens us up to the way Matthew and the church that Matthew was part of came to appreciate who Jesus was and the effect Jesus had in their community and the effect of the Spirit of God working in that community. And it was the same for Mark and Mark's Gospel, which is probably the first of the Gospels written in the Bible and tends to be written from, and I don't want to put this disparagingly, but really kind of basic rural language. So the grammar isn't very tight. And the vocabulary isn't very developed. It's quite straightforward in that way. And Luke's gospel has a very clear sense of the long Hebrew heritage and uses the best Greek of anything in the Bible, technically really highly developed. And then you've got John's gospel, which is very, very different again in its perspective and the way it tells us about Jesus. So what I wanted to do is open up a little bit about how John's gospel is a very different perspective to even what the other gospels show us. And then I want to drill it down to where Keith was pointing to think about how we need to appreciate how John's gospel tells us about the Holy Spirit in really distinctive ways. They're different to how Luke describes the Spirit, as we discovered last week in Luke and in Acts. So I want us to unpack that for a little bit. And if I have any joy, this iPad will work and the displays will switch and it'll all be a beautiful, beautiful thing. So let's see what we can make happen here. A few Facebook notifications. Whoops, that's not my... Yep, I'll do that. Yes, I know. It'll get changed in the morning. That's the old, I don't want that either. Yes, I'm at church, but I don't need to do that right now. What I want, I think, is something in Evernote, because what I want to show you is what are the things that are included in John's Gospel. Yeah. Some things that are not in John's Gospel. I'm sorry if it's a little hard to read, but let me... So these are the things that don't show up in John's Gospel. Jesus' birth. Whoops. Ah. I'll take my finger away from that button. So, yeah. Jesus' birth and childhood aren't described in John's Gospel. The temptations of Jesus aren't in his Gospel. Teaching in parables, the way that the parables work, is not in John's Gospel. Exorcisms, you don't find any of them in John's Gospel. Healing of lepers, the Sermon on the Mount, stories about tax collectors, the Sadducees as a group and not in John's gospel. Peter's confession, the whole thing about, but who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah, not in John's gospel. The transfiguration, where Jesus goes up in a mountain with Peter, James and John, and he becomes like white like an angel, so to speak, and he meets with Moses and with Elijah, not in John's gospel. Jesus' prophetic discourses. So this is the stuff in that you find in Matthew 23 to 25. That's not there. The Lord's Supper technically is not in John's gospel. You do have the Passover, the evening of Passover, but you don't have the Lord's Supper. And you don't have the agony in Gethsemane. In other words, when they go off to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples fall asleep. Jesus goes and prays. He comes back. The disciples are still asleep. That whole carry-on, not in John's gospel. What we do find only in John's gospel. Yeah, sorry about that. Cleansing of the temple, early. So in John's gospel, the cleansing of the temple is right at the start of the book. His ministry of baptism in Judea. His teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3, only there. The wedding in Cana, John chapter 2, only there. The Samaritan woman, John chapter 4, only in John's gospel. The I am sayings are only, or that whole series of I am the bread of life, I am the living water, I am the resurrection and the life, only there in John. Raising Lazarus from the dead, John chapter 11. Washing the disciples' feet in chapter 13. The whole upper room discourse, 13, 14, 15, 16, and then the prayer in chapter 17 there. The paraclete, which is one of the verses we're going to talk about in a moment. Jesus' prayer for his disciples, I mentioned that, John 17. His appearance to Mary in the garden in chapter 20. And his appearance on the lake and Peter's restoration in chapter 21. Did you realise there was that much variety? I knew it was different, but even just stopping and looking at that again, I didn't realise, I'd forgotten how much there is. All the more reason, thanks, we can take care of that now, all the more reason for us to really be thoughtful about the way that John's gospel tells us about the Spirit. Because John wants to press home, and I just want to take a moment to press home two key ideas that John wants to reinforce for us about the Spirit of God. The first is in the first passage that Courtney read so well for us from John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you'll obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. In this case, when the Bible uses the word another, it's talking about another of the same kind. One apple, another apple. If it's talking about one piece of fruit, an apple, and then another piece of fruit, a banana, you wouldn't use allos. You wouldn't use the same word for another in this case. Get the point? This counselor, this comforter, and I'll unpack that word again in a minute, is another of the same kind as Jesus has been for them. So what they've got to enjoy about Jesus, what they get to know about Jesus, it's the same kind of comfort and strength is going to come to them by the Spirit. Counselor is one word for it, but I've got to take a step back. The word, the Greek word is parakletos. Para, in other words, if something is parallel, can you picture how if something's parallel, it's alongside. Kletos is from based on the word kaleol, which means to call, to invite, to welcome. In other words, to come alongside, and particularly to speak from alongside. So can you see how they get the word counsellor from that? A counsellor, someone who comes alongside to speak to you, someone who comes alongside to encourage you. And John's unique in offering us this word for the Spirit, because that's what John wants us to remember, that the Spirit doesn't just come as some kind of divine electricity, doesn't just come as someone filling us with miraculous visions and dreams or power to move the mountain or move the paperclip or whatever the thing is we need to move. The Spirit wants to bring counsel, comfort, advocate. In other words, not just speaking to us, but speaking to God for us. Paul hints to that idea as well when he talks about the Spirit praying for us. Even if we can't find the words, the Spirit prays for us. It's that same sense following through from Paul to here. So that's the first word I want. The word I want to give you is really the word presence. Because for me, this grounds me in the fact that the Spirit of God is not something that comes and goes, not even a something at all. It is one whom walks alongside me. The Spirit walks alongside, not just me, all of us who would seek to love God as best we can find a way to do that. That the Spirit comes to travel alongside us and give us a sense of counsel, a sense of comfort, a sense of strength, a sense of, yes, we are walking in God's way. The Spirit of truth, which is a phrase that John uses often. That's presence. Learning to pay attention to that voice can be a whole different thing. We talked before about different people in our lives and how they know us. Sometimes we tune out to those people. We become either really familiar with them or we don't particularly like what we've got to say and we switch off from that. The presence of God comes to be alongside us, to speak to us, to guide us. And it's a long, gentle learning process to learn to appreciate the God who frankly doesn't shout, but for me, whispers. And if I do stop and if I do pay attention to what is my sense of longings that are true to the Spirit of God in this choice or in that circumstance, more often than not, I do have a sense of the way to go. And more often than not, I do get a sense of something that's the difference between, well, this is just my idea, and something which is originating in the heart and mind of God, not just in my own heart. I don't want to be flippant about that, and I don't want to imply that every one of us has got some kind of divine bat phone to pick up and to talk to God. But there is something to learn about quietly learning to discern the movement of the Spirit of God, this presence that this counselor talks to us about. That's the first word I want to give you. The only other word I want to give you is based on John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came, stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Again, this is a beautiful and extraordinary moment, and one that John alone opens us up to. Because for John, the risen Christ brings the gift of the Spirit. And it's so different to what we find over in Acts in particular, where the church is enlivened in a fresh and new way by the gift of the Spirit in Acts. This is even earlier, where Jesus gives them his Spirit, but it's known by actually two things. I talked before about presence. Here the Spirit's known by two things. One is actually within the text. What's the first thing Jesus says to them? The first word he wants them to have in this moment? Peace. What's the first thing God wants to give to you and to me? As his continuing presence with us? Peace. Not, gee, you've done it, you've really kind of stuffed the job up so far. Or, how come you abandoned me when things were tough? Or, how come you pretended like I didn't have anything to do with your life when you were hanging with your friends? I want you to have peace. Know to the core of your being that you and I are sorted, that we are together, and that for all the grief and struggles that you've got now, I'm not one of the things causing you that grief. You and I can have peace together. And with that sense of being reconciled, of being tight, of being sorted together, comes another thing. And forgive me for using, it's a word I use deliberately in our church life, but it's the word purpose. Peace I give you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Your purpose is to go as sent people, sent by God, just as I have been sent so far, so too I'm sending you to continue to not just receive my comfort, but to bring comfort. I'm sending you not just to receive my teaching, but to bring my teaching. I'm sending you not just to receive my good news, but to be my good news in the world from here on. I'm sending you out. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. There's your purpose. And you might have to figure it out in terms of uni selection, or you might have to figure it out in terms of subject selection at school, or you might have to figure it out in terms of choices of friendships, or you might have to figure it out in terms of choices in workplace. But whatever that context, the same reality is still true. As the Father sends me, so I send you. That's the wonder for me of John's gospel. That John reminds us of what we do sense in other parts of the gospel, but here it's leaping out in front of us. That the Spirit of God, the continuing gift of the character of God, are still alive now in presence, bringing peace, and giving us a sense of purpose. And I long that every one of us knows that more and more deeply to the core of ourselves. In just a moment, when we're going to have a chance to do the offering, we might actually just do the next song instrumentally while the offering's taken up, and then we all sing it together as a way of tidying up the rest of the service. But that will give us a chance for a couple of things. One, if you've brought something to contribute to the offering, then please do so. But two, it'll give you a chance to think, what's my offering to God? What can I offer to God? In light of his presence, the peace he offers, and the sense of purpose, what's coming on the table for us? And what do we want to put up and share in that regard? Let me pray for us, and then we'll share in that closing song.